You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Oh man, it is a hot one in New York City today. I immediately turned off the AC to record this intro outro and just like buckets of sweat all over my body. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a good week. I hope the summer is so far treating you well. I love the summer. It's definitely my favorite season. I feel like I've talked about that a lot, but it doesn't matter. This is a really fun episode. Me and this guest talk a lot about sex, just a lot about sex, and it's fun and informative and just like a really good time. And it's one of those episodes where it's like, yeah, this is how I envisioned like the pod to be, just a very open forum for what have you, like when it comes to sex, dating, relationships. And not that other guests have not done that, but just it's really cool when it's like somebody you don't know while just opening up so much so quickly. It's very humbling, and I'm very honored to witness that and be a part of that and get to cultivate and create that space for people. I think it's also my 4-year anniversary of the podcast. It came out, I think, in 2018, like 4th of July weekend. And here we are, 4 fucking years later. What is life? Time is scary and it's moving very fast, and who knows? And I'm just very thankful and glad to have you here and glad to have this outlet for myself and for others, and can't wait to see what else comes from it. What else comes from it? I don't know. If you're in New York City, come down to the Duplex July 15th. I literally decided to schedule a few shows, actually. I have like 3 shows right before my wedding. Just classic me, just really trying to get it all in. And oh, also Sarah had her baby. She was the podcast guest last week. She had it like yesterday. I called the baby it. Had the baby yesterday. So congrats, Sarah. And thank you again for hopping on and willing to talk to me while you're 9.5 months pregnant. And that's really fucking cool of you. But yeah, come to the Duplex July 15th, 9:30 show. Or if you are in the UK, if you are in Scotland, August 4th through the 28th, come see Awkward Sex and City at Edinburgh. I've been told I say the country wrong, and I'm working really hard on it, and I still think I'm saying it wrong. Edinburgh. For Fringe Fest, it's their 75. I can't talk today. It's because it's so fucking hot, y'all. I'm so sorry. It's their 75th. Anniversary, the world's largest arts festival. So very cool, very horrified at the same time. I just think it's a really good moment to remember, like, whatever you want to do, you should do it in the sense that it's not hurting anyone or like not consensual, but like dream wise. And like if you dream of being a serial killer, please don't do that. But Just do it. It's scary and weird and pushes you into out of your comfort level. And if you're like me, you really, really need to be pushed out of your comfort zone a lot, or otherwise you're just binge watching Gilmore Girls. And if you are like me, you've seen it thousands of times at this point, which is a very true statement of how many times I've watched that show. Anywho, when are you going to intro your guest, Natalie? That's a great question, Natalie. Like I said, this is a very fun episode. It's how I've always visioned the episodes to be, and just a fucking blast. And so my first guest, because we're going to have a back-to-back, is one of the co-hosts of the Boss Bitch Show. And with me today is Rachel Green, not from Friends. And we just talk all things sex. And then soon you'll have the other co-host, Kirsten O'Brien. And they are launching a podcast on July 14th and having a launch party in New York City, if you're around, at the Comedy Shop, for their podcast, The Boss Bitch Show. And I really, really think if you like Awkward Sex and City, you're going to love this podcast. Subscribe now so that way you are ready for the first episode come July 14th and can be downloaded wherever podcasts are downloaded. Spotify, iTunes, or I guess it's podcast now, Apple Podcast now, all those places. And I just think you're going to like it. I think you're going to really fall in love with Rachel like I did on the podcast. And I just can't wait for you to listen.
What's going on with you? What's going on with your life? You have a great show. It's every other Thursday or every Thursday at Bleakley?
It's the second Thursday of
Thursday of the month.
Yep, it's the Boss Bitch Show. It's at the Comedy Shop.
Oh, I got everything. I was like, it's on Bleecker.
No, it is on Bleecker.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it used to be called the Village Lantern, and then they like renovated it, and then the restaurant was called the Bronx River Yacht Club, and then now it's Ways and Means, but the back comedy section is called the Comedy Shop.
Okay.
I think they should just call the whole establishment the Comedy Shop, kind of like the Stand. But, you know, I'm not the owner, so, you know, whatever. So we're the second Thursday of every month. And then coming up July 14th, we will have our podcast launch.
Yay! Amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, and that came out because basically Kirsten and I, we take turns hosting and headlining, you know, with our other folks in the middle. And yeah, so people weren't really getting the vibe of the two of us together, and like all the banter and stuff that we have in common, the woo woo witchy shit, and the sex positivity, and dealing with therapy and trauma and life and feminism and, you know, vaginas, you know, life. Yeah, so it was more like that, and like, you know, also just bringing on other people in life that we think are boss bitches.
Hell yeah, I can't wait to listen. I feel like people that listen to Awkward Sex would very much like this podcast. So I'm very excited to have
you
guys on.
And I was just thinking like we should have you as a guest.
Oh, hell yeah, I'd love to.
Awesome.
How long have you guys known each other?
We've probably known each other like 3.5 years, but we've been like real, real tight probably the past two. You know, pandemic sort of cements people together and, you know, chatting on the phone about life and dealing with, you know, a pandemic, you know, and oh God, and families and, you know, bullshit, you know, comedy.
Oh yeah. The trifecta, bullshit, comedy, pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously it's so great to have someone like that too, with the past few years, as it just potentially and aggressively gets worse and worse. Yeah, I had to record a podcast on Friday, but luckily it was with Sarah Hartshorn. So I was like, Sarah, she's so great and had so many tips. But yeah, it's so important to have these outlets right now for people to feel heard and seen and just be able to vent on top of just therapy as well. Like my poor therapist, she was like, it's been a rough week. And I was like, that's great. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about this. We'll get to that later for you, Dr. Eve. But right now, we are not talking about Roe v. Wade. But thank you.
No, that just requires screaming into the corner of the room. there is no therapy for Roe versus Wade right now. It's just like, ah, you know, it's yeah, that's kind of how my session went.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you dating anyone right now?
I am not. I I was listening to an Abraham Hicks podcast about, you know, letting them in, you know, don't try, just allow for it and don't think of the lack of person. And yeah, so no, I'm very single. And I have to say, I've been perfecting a joke about it recently because I consider myself queer, but a lot of people don't understand what queer means because they're dumb or they're just not informed. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm pansexual because I'm attracted to a person's energy, mm-hmm. right? And so it doesn't have to be in a certain body, but I do really like dick. So it's unfortunate. And I don't always like, you know, and I don't always like the people that they're attached to. And yeah, so I kind of wish I was a little more gay, but yeah, unfortunately, I like penis. You know, strap-ons just aren't quite the same.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Like, it's just a little different.
It's different.
Yeah. And it just, there is something about, like, you just, it's graphic. I'm going like this, and the, it's no one.
I love it.
You just want to be, like, railed sometimes, and it just doesn't feel, authentic's not the right word, but just, it is different. You want that penis attached to a literal body. Now, those strap-ons aren't great. They are.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. And I mean, even when I've been the penetrator with a strap-on, I'm almost like, you can really fuck someone, but then also, like, if you, like, go the wrong way, you can, like, really hurt the person because it's, like, it's this, like, wonky rubber thing that's not literally attached to you. And it's not, like, always the tightest fit if you're getting into it. And, you know, yeah. Yes, awkward sex. There you go. Literally.
No, but that's what I love about the podcast. It's very, very real. Like, we're going to talk all real things. And this is, like, I feel like what a lot of people crave, right, is that people aren't always willing to admit, like, hey, you could hurt someone with a strap on because it's not, because it is, it's, how hard is a dildo? Is it a dildo? Is it more like, you know, human-like? I don't know the correct term.
Lifelike. Yeah, human-like.
What are we working with? What are, what's happening? I have not been the person that penetrates. I do want to in the future.
It's a good time.
I'm always worried, like, I'm not going to have the hip strength for it. Like, I feel like I'm out of shape and that's going to be really hard and not that fun for the other person.
I get what you're saying. I think it becomes a mind over matter situation. I think you get into it and you just sort of, you know, I'm thinking about it. Say that. I mean, being in shape does definitely help. But yeah, you know, I don't know about you, but I mean, even when I, like, masturbate, I feel like I sort of thrust myself a little bit. And so I feel maybe I do a lot of squats too, you know, but I highly suggest pegging a man. That there, you, because you get to take back some of the power. It's a good time.
Oh yeah, definitely, it's on the list. I 100% want to do that one day,
especially right now. I'm kind of like, all right, but no, I don't want to hurt anyone. But ironically, the first couple of times I used a strap-on was with dudes.
I love that. I feel like dudes are getting way more open about being like, yeah, I would like to try all the things, because it's like, yeah, it's sex. It doesn't mean anything that you don't want it to mean. And that's really cool. And that's what's frustrating about, like, you know, what's happening right now. It's like, us as a society, I feel like it really has gone, you know, in the correct direction, majority wise. We still got a lot of awful people and, like, dumb people. I'm just gonna call them dumb. But this is great. Yeah. Like, yes, straight man, go get pegged. Go fucking get railed, because you've got a prostate and it's gonna feel fucking great. And I can't wait for that to happen for you. And like, women, like, yes, try all the things. Try sex with other genders besides, like, penis genders. Like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I'm loving that.
You are right. And that is a nice message. And we need to stay hopeful and remember the progress that we have made. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I got to perform at, like, a pride show, and there were, like, families,
yay,
you know, like, on Sunday, and that there were, you know, and, like, totally a great mix of people, and, like, in Westchester. So I was like, okay, good things are happening, right? Like, we're actually getting more progressive in the, even in the suburbs, like, okay, this is good. And, like, they laughed at my jokes, like, they understood, you know, what I was saying, you know, because you hope that if you're doing a pride show that you would have sort of a queer set that, and people would appreciate it. And it did go that way. So I felt very grateful. And yeah, it did feel hopeful.
I've only had one kid in the audience once, and they were like a teenager. And I was like, a preteen. I was like, honestly, I'm afraid of you. Like, I used to work at Urban Outfitters in New York City. Like, you scare the shit out of me. And I was like, I'm gonna tell a one night stand story, and you're not even gonna like blink an eye. And she was like, yeah, that was very tame. And I was like, that was like one of my worst stories. But I went to a show recently, like a month or two ago, and there was kids in the audience with the mom, and she was such a great comedian. I forget her name. Super deadpan, but was like making abortion jokes. And like, she was like, someone explain it to the kids. And the mom was like, oh, they already know. Like, they already know. And they were like 8. And I was like, this is the best. This is why I love New York City. Like, they were just eating tacos for this like very, very queer comedy show. And like, loving the shit out of it at like 7 and 8 years old.
It's also brilliant too, because I find like the current generation of kids really has no issue with gender conversation, sexuality conversation. They're just like, you know, yeah, you know what? Today I'm a they, you know what? Yeah, call me they. Yeah, I'm going to wear this flower dress, you know, or, you know, hey, you know, today I like boys. I don't know. Tomorrow I might like girls. And it's just, there's like no morality to it. They're just like, it's great. It's great. So yes, good stuff.
Oh, hells yeah. Yeah, I had one kid that I used to nanny for after I wasn't nannying them anymore. I was still friends with the other babysitter. And she was like, yeah, they're non-binary now. And they were like 8. And I was like, hells yeah. I did kind of see it coming though, because they started like always having their hair super long, and the parents were not okay with that. And then we, the babysitters, had to be like, why is that not okay? And then they always wanted me to take them to Sephora to do makeup. And I was like, we can absolutely do Sephora makeup. And then they would be like, but this is so, you know, crazy, because like, I shouldn't be doing it. And I'd be like, why can't you do makeup? Like, why not? And so I was so glad to hear that like months later after I'd left that they came out. And I think they still are now. That was like 4 or 5 years ago. So I think they still are non-binary, and I fucking love it. Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome. I love that.
So so much more fun to have. I feel like I had, not that I didn't have fun as a kid, but you do wonder like what would have happened if it was way more open as a child? Like what would you have got into? Like I was super afraid of dick as a child, preteen, teenager, and then an adult. Like I didn't have sex till I was 20. And so it's like, if I had more openness growing up, would I, one, have tried other stuff first and been more sexually active before, which I don't think is like a bad thing for someone younger to be sexually active. And what would that have like looked like, and what would that have been?
Totally. I mean, I was informed by finding my dad's 70s porn, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having older friends and being like, I need to try this immediately. And so, you know, it's like, okay, blowjobs in the Burger King bathroom. You know, it's like
that one, like the porn articles.
No, the porn I watched like an offshoot of like Debbie Does Dallas.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like starring Angel, you know, mm-hmm. It's like that cheesy voiceover. And I just remember, you know, he was like a businessman and everybody's cheating on everybody and it's all very sexy. And they all went to Plato's Retreat, which is like, you know, was a famous New York sex club. So it really informed like my pro sexuality in life. So no regrets, but also was super heteronormative, you know, and just, I mean, the one thing that's pretty cool about it is like, you know, the giant 70s bush, the empowerment of, you know, of that is super cool. But yeah, I mean, I don't, not to sound like a cheese ball, it sounds very cliche, but I really didn't discover my sort of love for people and women until I went to Burning Man. And I was like, I love everyone. I guess that includes women and non-binary. Like, and when I first went to Burning Man, actually non-binary didn't even really exist as a term, like in the mainstream, you know, but I was just like, I love people. Oh my God. You know,
I love that. Were there drugs? There had to be drugs involved when you realize that. I feel like a lot of Molly.
Actually, maybe a little bit more, but honestly, the first couple of years I went to Burning Man, I really didn't do a lot of stuff. Like I was just tapped into the community and the energy and the vibe. And like, I'm a Reiki master. So I'm very empathic and like sensitive to energy. So when you're just in that collective space of like no one having responsibilities and everyone just being their best, like self-expressed selves, mm-hmm. it's a, It's a whole other vibe. I don't know if it's still like that. This was a while ago.
Yeah. I feel like it probably is. I think it's a little bit more Instagram worthy. I mean, I've never been, so I'm speaking truly all from speculation. But I love that. I think that's like the point of Burning Man. And there's another one, right? Where it's like in the desert and it's like, yeah, it should be this like very like exploratory, that's a word, exploring situation for yourself where you're just learning more about yourself.
Yeah, I went three times. So in 07 and 08, like I went in just like wanting to expand my mind and my experience and like who I was as a human. And, you know, you get what you came for. It's not always like pretty, but yeah, it was definitely eye opening. And, you know, back then it was like off the grid. There was no cell phone service, which I think was part of the magic for me, was like, you know, just being in the moment, literally.
Yeah, 2007, I still had a flip phone. And like,
yeah, I probably did too.
I mean, I'm so on my phone that now I've been trying to turn it off for like 2 hours a day. And that's it.
It's great. Just 2 hours.
It is so fucking hard. And then I try not to go on the computer at the same time. So it's like, you're trying really hard to be like, I don't want to be connected any way, shape or form. And it does not go well every time, but it's just like, you just want to be away from it. Like you don't, it's too much.
Absolutely. I mean, I watch Island Hunters. Do you ever watch that?
Is that on HGTV?
Like, yeah, it's like the offshoot of House Hunters,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
And these people, you know, it's real. They're like, you know, I just can't disconnect. So I'm going to buy a fucking island. Which that must be nice to have that
yeah,
privilege.
Yeah, good but, for you.
Yeah, so I'm just going to buy this secluded island and shut off. I'm like, there's cheaper ways to do that. But yeah. But I pretend I'm them. Yeah.
I love HGTV. I love all the drama that comes with it when people lost their shit when they found out House Hunters is basically like staged.
Oh,
I was like, yeah, of course totally. It's staged. And then, what is it? Magnolia, who Chip and Joanna.
Oh, Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Just would fuck both of them so quickly. And it'd be such different experiences for like with either one of them.
God.
Like, oh my God. I love them. I love.
She's hot, but she's
stiff, man.
She's so high maintenance. I'd have to fuck her hard with a strap on.
That's the thing, right?
Sure.
Like you have to fuck her, and there's something about that that's like, yes, I do want to. Like I want to fuck you.
I'd be like, loosen up, girl. Come on. shiplap, shiplap, shiplap. You know,
she's so stiff, but you know they have a great sex life because they have like 12 kids.
Oh yeah. And he's so silly. I love his silliness. So he probably just like gets her to loosen up. Oh, I wonder if they have like dirty sex. If he like pulls her hair and shoves her against the wall.
I think
or
they
if
do.
It's the other way. Or if it's the other way around. You know,
I could go either
if
way.
If she like doms him. Because, you know, obviously alpha personalities can be very submissive in the bed. Hello.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I could ever dom because I just want things done to me. And I think because I'm lazy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the majority of the women that I've dated have assumed with my alpha personality that I wanted to be the dom. And I was like, I can. It's just not my preference. You know, that's not my first desire.
Yeah.
I can do it. And of course, pleasing my partner, if that's what they're into, like, sure, you know. But I love a good toss me against the wall and, you know, spank me and choke me, pull my hair.
How does that conversation go when like someone makes that assumption for you? Like what are people, have people been receptive of like, hey, actually I would want to be the submissive role?
Yeah. I think I've learned actually to talk about it sooner. I guess it does take out a little bit of the mystery and the, you know, that sort of vibe of like discovering. And I also do think that there is room for people to change and grow. And obviously the dynamic can be different with each person. You know, some people I might feel more comfortable being dominant with, or, you know, like I've always wanted to date a true switch so that we could literally,
oh yeah,
the world would be our fucking oyster. You know what I mean? It would just depend on how the wind was blowing and how we were feeling and, you know, but it's not always like that, you know, or maybe I just feel really subby with that one person or vice versa. Yeah. So, yeah. But I think also as I get older, I can tell, you know, I kind of have a, what would I call that? A dom dar, a sub dar.
What are the dead giveaways with the dom dar?
Oh, man, Doms. Oh, fuck, man. Well, it's interesting because, like, true Doms are usually really fucking narcissistic, you know, and of course, really hot, you know, and there's something kind of brooding and dark behind the eyes. And I'm a sucker. I'm like, sign me up. I'm going to hate this later. But, oh, it's so hot. And then I like a good service top. Those are fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had to explain to someone what that was once, recently, how it's like, oh, they're not dominant by nature necessarily, but they dominate you because it pleases you. I'm like, okay, that's fucking
yeah, that checks the boxes.
Woo! Because then it's like, oh, it's about me.
Oh, yeah. And that's what always, I think that's what always gets me is when it's like, this is about me. Like, this is all for me, about me. And it's like, yes, I am going to get off to this. I think I had one true Dom in my sex life. And we had been hooking up a little bit and he was like, well, this is what I like to do. Like, he's like, I just like to take over and take control. And I was like, oh yeah, you should absolutely do that. That's great. And I had definitely been like faking orgasms with him. But it was weird. He was really good at fingering. Like, it felt really, really great. Really, really great. It was very different. It was very internal. It wasn't like clit. It was all inside. Like, he didn't do this with me, but I know he loved to fist a lot, but we didn't get there. But it never would come to like a head, but it felt great. So I would just like, I would just fake it because after a while you're like, okay, this is great. This is great. But I would like something new. The moment he like legit dommed on me came immediately. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, this is a whole different like ball game, obviously.
Oh, that's so hot.
Oh yeah.
That's so hot.
He also like, so I was a live-in nanny. And so he'd come to visit me at the person's house. And so it was just this great, like, not great energy, but afterwards, like, I like picked up the kids at their like baseball game. And I was like, I felt like I had a fucking affair. And I was like, this is the best. And it's like, I totally like gravitate to that type of like porn where it's like, oh, like they almost got caught, like doing something naughty. Like, I fucking love that shit.
Oh yeah. I christened the balcony of my apartment only like 2 months ago. And I was like, oh, my neighbor's going to catch me. Oh, this is so hot.
So fucking hot. Oh my God. I love this for you. And of course, no one saw, like, or if they did, they're not going to say
anything.
No
one saw. No. And she's like rich. She has like, she took over like the three apartments next to me. So she probably was like all the way on the other side. But the idea that she could be in that one was kind of hot, you know, or like, I don't know, people on the promenade, whatever. Yeah.
No, I fucking love that shit. I love almost getting caught stuff. That's great. I'm so glad that happened. And I'm so glad for it to happen again for you.
Thank you. Unfortunately, the dude just like disappeared. It was so bizarre.
I've talked about it a lot in the pod. It's like something about this summer is like the vibes are off with dating. There's something weird. Like last year, it was like, oh, this is going to be such a slutty summer. And then it wasn't. It wasn't a slutty summer at all. And now this year feels like the slutty summer. But now there's not communication where it's like, hey, I want to be slutty. But instead of being like, hey, that's just what I want, let's keep this going. But these are like my parameters and communicating that, it's just a lot of ghosting or a lot of like, yeah, we'll meet up and then constantly canceling. Nothing. And it's like, why is that? Like, you're wasting people's time. People just want to get laid, man.
Yeah. Why did we do that? Yeah. No, this one guy, I was like, okay, there's a new app called Thursday, right?
Oh, I haven't heard this one.
And I think it's UK based and they like shared it with New York. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll try it. And it only works on Thursdays. So people are like more motivated. And I was like, oh, this is fucking brilliant because then I'm not having these stupid like extended conversations on like Hinge and OkCupid or Bumble or whatever the fuck. And it's like, oh yeah, this is so romantic or yeah, we're so hot. And then nothing happens. I was like, this is great. And then there's like an event you can attend, which I haven't done yet. That's like, you know, only people that are on this app, whatever. So I meet this dude, we exchange information. We don't get to hang out that day, but he's like, how about tomorrow? I'm like, great. And we have this date and he's like super hot. He's like former pro wrestler and like personal trainer. And he's got all these tats and like, you know, he's kind of like my height, but like he's buff. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's kind of hot. And I don't have a type, but I was enjoying him, you know, and his energy. Like the second I walked in, like it was like, you know, that magnet. And I was like, oh, this could be fun. And we had like a really good time. I mean, I knew that he wasn't intellectually my match necessarily, but he had a great sense of humor. And like immediately, because it was like a high top table, And I was going to sit across from him, and he was like, uh-uh, sit right next to me. And I was like,
ooh, okay.
All right, I see where, yeah. And just immediately just kind of took charge and just like, you know, was like very close, you know, touching. And then, you know, halfway, you know, after like not even done with my first drink, and he's like whispering in my ear, and he's like, yeah, you want me to like pull your hair and do all this stuff? And I was like,
yes, please.
And you know, that 2 drinks later, we were back at my apartment and having super hot sex, and it was awesome. And in my head, I was like, this is fucking great. I'm going to have a booty call. Like, I cleared out my roster. Like, there hasn't been people in there in a while, you know? And I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. And then we only had one more time that we fucked, and then he disappeared.
No. Oh my God.
Yeah. He was the one I fucked on the balcony. I was like, because I had told him about it, and he was like, open the door, get on the balcony now. And I was like, you know, like, yeah, so hot.
Damn. I'm so disappointed in him. I'm so disappointed. Like, the amount of possibility there.
I know. I mean, he said that he had like wrist surgery, and like, he was like afraid. I was like, dude, I can ride you. Like, if you're afraid you're going to like hurt your wrist, like, there's other things we can do. Sit in this fucking chair right here, and like, I'll ride you till the cows come home. I don't know.
He just fingers you so hard. He like snaps his wrist that he just had surgery on. It's like, yeah, there's so many things.
You broke my wrist,
we
bitch.
We can do. Oh my God. I'm just going to get on top and we're going to have a great time.
Guys can be very narrow-minded with that shit. You know, like, oh, I don't feel like I can perform for you. I'm like, okay, so don't. Like, I have toys. I have vibrators. I have dildos. We can make out. We can cuddle. Mm-hmm. Like, there's fingers. Like, there's so many. Like, if your dick doesn't feel up to business tonight, that's okay. Like, but yeah, there's the ego and the libido are so connected oftentimes.
Yeah,
so,
unfortunately. Yeah. And I blame the patriarchy. I do think it's a very big patriarchy thing. Like, anytime if someone is not okay with a toy, it's like, what? Like, I've heard people.
Oh my God, I hate
that. I've heard people say they'll never, like, not just dudes. I've heard women say they would never use a toy on someone else because they don't want to penetrate someone. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, what? Yeah. And I was like, but like, they were like, I would break up with that person if they wanted to be penetrated because I could not do that for them. And I was like, this seems like I think there's things you need to unpack maybe, because why? Like, yeah. That's not a weird thing for anyone of any sexuality or gender to want.
No. And like you were saying earlier, like, guys have a prostate, like, that shit feels good.
Feels,
you know,
feels it's great.
I remember the first time I fingered a guy, it was like my boyfriend. I was like 22, and it was like, I was like blowing him, and I like, you know, I warmed it up. I don't know, spit or lube or something. And it was like, I swear, the second I like fully stuck it in, he just like shot a load in my mouth. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. If I don't have a lot of time on my hands. Okay, good. Good to know.
Oh my God. I always struggle. I have to be one super, super drunk, and then I'm like, yes, you can come in my mouth. And then every time they come in my mouth, and I'm like, this was a mistake. Like, it's just me holding in my mouth, being like, I need to spit this out. I'm like, what do we do? Like, so if I'm hammered, I can swallow it. And that's like the dead giveaway that I am like crazy drunk.
I usually say I swallow if I like you.
No, I will only swallow otherwise, if I'm like plastered.
Yeah, I'll just be like, excuse me. Just like, you know, spit in the tissue or run to the bathroom. And yeah, you know, Kirsten and I have a whole thing that we call slut throat, where, you know, if you give really vigorous deep throat, you know, you can get tears in the back of your throat, and then that can lead to like strep throat. Like, I actually gave myself strep throat once, and, you know, energetically I was also like in the midst, it was like breakup sex. So also there was like a lot of anger in that area, if you believe in that stuff. Yeah. And I literally got strep throat. So now I have this regimen, whether I like you or not, if I give the vigorous deep throat, I'm running to the bathroom and I am gargling immediately with peroxide. So
I love this. I love
it. Yeah, it works.
I think I just had a very bad experience the first time. It definitely, like, the wad shot to the back of my throat and I felt like I was choking. So now I like put my tongue up, which I don't know if it's fun for the dude, but I'll like put my tongue up as a barrier. And it'll like, it'll keep it like in the front, which might be worse for me, but at least it's not like hitting the back of my throat anymore. I don't know if I've ever deep throated.
That is, girl, that is so fucking smart. I am really, that is, that's ingenuity right there. And then if you want to be really, you know, some guys really like the fucking dripping out the front of the mouth, you know, look, then you can do that whole thing. Like,
you just get like real messy with it.
Look how messy I am, daddy.
Well, also for me, and I think this is like unique to me, but like it's like for sex for me is kind of like porn. Like the moment I come from porn, I'm done with that porn. I don't want to watch anymore. It's just it's the facade is gone, right? It's just like it did its job. Same thing kind of happens with sex with me. Like once the person comes or I come, once we've like both come, I'm like, oh, I'm out, I'm done. So like when I'm like shot with a load in the mouth, I'm like no longer sexy. I'm like, okay, now we got things to do. Yeah. Like I gotta spit this out. I gotta brush my teeth. We gotta go like, you know, get groceries. I don't know. Like I just stop. Like it just stops. I feel like I'm really bad at that too. Cause like, especially with my partner, he'll like want to cuddle. And I'm like, we got a day ahead of us. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And that's the other thing is like, you know, also like, sometimes you got to worry about your vaginal health, right? You know, it's like if like, you know, you had really vigorous sex or like if you're fluid bonded with the dude and they come inside you, like, you know, you got to clean up in there and like maybe stick some coconut oil or probiotic to make sure she doesn't get, you know, UTI, BV, yeast infection, all the fun things that, you know, we get to hold inside, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a story that I haven't told in a long time, but like I got... my kidneys almost shut down because I ignored a UTI from a person who the doctor said he said your kidneys are shutting down because your boyfriend has a dirty dick.
I knew you were going to say that.
We weren't using protection. Like we weren't, cause I was on the pill and it was like, he was like, yeah, this is from a dirty penis. And then I ignored the UTI and it got so bad. Like I remember I peed in the cup and I went to go give it back to the doctor and he was like, I don't even have to look at this in the microscope. He was like, this is blood. This is all blood. And I was like,
oh my God. Okay. Oh, I'm in pain thinking about that. Oh, you poor thing.
And I always pee after sex. I'm very more aware of what's going on down there.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh God, man. Ugh. Dirty dicks. Fucking assholes. Yeah. You know, it's funny because before I came on this podcast, I was thinking to myself, wow, pretty much my brand of comedy is awkward sex.
It's a good brand to have. It works.
Oh my God. You know, I call it sexy, silly, or like, you know, but yeah, like there was this one time I had a threesome very unexpectedly. And most times that I've had threesomes, it was with like with people that I knew that I was like friends with or, you know, because I was very sexually active in high school. So those times in high school, it was like, yes, we're friends. This is what we're doing. And I was like, cool. And it was a lot of like male me. And I was queen for a day. So I fucking loved it because I'm an attention whore. And I was like, this is amazing. And it felt like a porn and it was great. And then, you know, I got older and I did the whole, you know, polyamory thing. And then it was like, you know, people I would know at sex parties, which were, again, also usually my friends. But then this one time I was just like at a party. It was like after my friend's gallery opening. It was a very sexy night. Everyone felt really fabulous. I think I like performed my dirty song parody on the roof at her request. I had like this Little Mermaid song parody that I do. And, you know, it's like part of your world. So I talk about dildos and butt plugs instead of who's its and what's its kind of thing. So this couple was just like given the vibes, you know. I don't even know. No, they were like best friends, right? And there may have been some... drugs involved, you know, but we were having a good time. We're like on a rooftop, there's drinks, there's this and that. So we end up going back to this dude's place. And it was almost as if they had never had a threesome or they're just, I don't know, they're just more vanilla threesome people in the sense that he double dipped his fingers in us.
Oh.
And so I had to go to the gynecologist after that because I was like, I don't know these people. I don't know if she gets tested. I don't know what her pH balance is. And he was like double dipping the chip in the guacamole. And I was like, fuck, man, you know. And in the moment, I didn't want to like shame her. Mm-hmm. And it would have completely ruined the mood. And he had already done it. So I was like, well, it's already done, you know. So I was just like, I guess I'll just attempt to enjoy the rest of this. And then, of course, my hot Russian gynecologist was like, Rachel, you're so crazy. You either have no sex or all the sex. And I was like, yeah, that's true. But yeah, I was so paranoid. I was like, man, so, fuck you, dude. That's just like not how you roll.
Interesting. Like, what would you say are the top five? Well, not top five, like the top do's and don'ts of threesomes, especially like if someone's listening that's never had a threesome yet before. But it's like interested. Oh,
what a great question. Oh, man. First and foremost, communication.
Yep, okay.
Right? That's the key to life, but especially sex. Communication, obviously consent. Mm-hmm. It's really good to like be in the moment and just be sexy and hot, but like you might want to like declare some like strong yeses or strong nos. And I think, you know, the sex parties that I used to go to that I liked the most would have a welcome circle where people go around and talk about when they got tested, what their status was, if they were fluid bonded with their partner. And if anyone doesn't know what that means, it just means you're bonded, your fluids are bonded, like you don't use condoms with your primary partner. And then you would go around and kind of like declare what you wanted to get out of the evening, you know? So it was very intentional experience, kind of like a seminar or some shit like that. So it is a little woo-woo for some people. And some people would be like, oh my God, when are we gonna fuck already, you know? But what was really hot about it was like everything was out on the table. So it's kind of like looking at this gorgeous buffet and being like, oh, I know what that is. Oh, that's that. Oh, I can have a little bit of that. I could have all that. Oh yeah, I'm not really a fan of that. And then you could just roll. So I feel like if you're having a threesome, you could kind of set it up a little bit with like your hard yeses or your hard nos or like your requests. You know, you can make it sexy, make it like a request. This is what I would like. This is what works for me. This is what doesn't work for me. And also just like, you know, safety, you know, have a safe sex conversation. It's really, there's no shame in it. I hate that people still stigmatize STIs, you know, especially herpes. It's like everyone fucking has herpes. Get over it, you know? And it's really hard for women to give it to men anyway. It's mostly men giving it to us, unfortunately. You know, and if you have any concerns, just fucking use condoms, use gloves. You can also destigmatize safety. You know, you can make it really hot. Just, put on that glove. Yeah. Break up that lube. You know, just make it really sexy. I don't know. I mean, I went to one party. I had never used a dental dam. The first time I went down on a woman, they were like, here is a dental dam. And I was like, what is this craziness? And it's, you know, at first I was like, ugh, this is terrible. This isn't sexy. I'm not like, you know. And a lot of people don't use barriers for oral sex. I get it. But, you know, you can still get STIs in your throat. Hello. And you can give people and get stuff. And, you know, a lot of people have oral herpes from someone sticking their genitals in their mouth. And a lot of people don't realize that. Anyway.
Yeah. No, my doctor, I've had like this weird thing with my mouth for months. And my doctor keeps being like, I think it's herpes. And we keep getting tested over and over again. It keeps not popping up. But I'm like, at this point, I don't care if it's herpes. I just want to know what's going on.
Yeah, you just want some sort of relief, probably.
Yeah,
you
know? Totally. And then I have HPV. So I was like, oh, is it HPV in my mouth? And they were like, no. And I was like, are you sure? Because like, what if it just was? So we can like, just be done with this.
You know, there are some people who will regularly after a sex party, not only get swabbed below, but they'll get swabbed in their mouth. And like, the doctors are like impressed or sometimes even like shocked. You know, and I remember my first gynecologist, he was like an old man. And I was like, test me for everything. And he was like, okay. And I was like, tell me what everything is. Mm-hmm. And he was like, chlamydia, gonorrhea, you know. And I was like, what else? He's like, yeah, I don't know. I think there might be one more. Anyway, it was kind of like this, the basic panel. And I was like, okay, what about herpes? He was like, yeah, we don't really test for that. And I was like, well, why not? He's like, well, you know, I don't know, kind of everybody has it. And I guess, you know, you'd probably have symptoms. I'm like, dude, should I be teaching like fucking sex ed to my gynecologist? Like, no, you can have herpes and not be symptomatic and give it to everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever. So that was the first beginning. I mean, he helped deliver me. So, you know, that's why he was my gynecologist. He helped my mom, you know, conceive me, not in the literal sense, of course.
Real full circle situation and for him there.
He's my dad.
Remember that Planned Parenthood when I was like starting to learn more about that was a great joke. I did not give it enough credit. That was a great joke. When I was like learning more about like STDs and like how they're tested, I didn't realize like I had to ask for like specific tests. Like they'd be like, do you want to get tested for STDs? And I was like, yeah. So they would do HIV blood tests, and then they would do like the panel, but that you had to request, like, I would like, you know, herpes, I would like X, Y, and Z. And now I just found out recently, like HPV is like now able to be checked via blood. Cause I was like at the,
cause you used to have to get the pap smear.
Yeah. And so like when I went last November, they did both. They were like, we can do blood and we'll do like a nice little smear. And yeah, that's when I found out I call it one of the bad ones. I've got one of the ones where it's like, you could get cancer from this. So now I have to do a pap every 6 months. And I also have to like fight with my insurance to be like, are you fucking covering this? Like, are you going to cover this?
Yes, I've been there, unfortunately. And she drew me like a whole chart of the different types of HPV and the different stages that you need to look at. And I had the LEAP procedure too. That was terrible.
Is that the one where they spray something into your vag and then do like a, because I had to do a second procedure.
No, that's a colposcopy.
Yes. Yes. Because I could never say it. I'd be like, colposcopy. And they were like, please stop. I had just gotten like a colonoscopy and I had to get like an endoscopy. Like, oh my God, last year was like fucking procedures. I had a breast cancer scare.
Oh no.
So many scares. And so I was just like, I don't know what oscopy it is, but I know it's like a SBP. And they were like, we know what you're here for. So you don't have to say
it. No, that's basically they're taking a chunk out of your uterus to test it. Ooh. It's basically like a biopsy, but it's like, it's specific. And then they put this coffee ground type shit inside of you to clot the blood so you don't bleed out. And then you're like fucking, your vagina is like throwing up coffee grounds for the next day. Yeah. This is all the stuff that no one talks about. I love it. Oh, this is good stuff.
I did not know that.
No, the LEAP procedure is when it gets to the scary place. And they're like, oh, next step, you could get cervical cancer. So we're going to laser off the first layer of your entire cervix. It's a thing. It's basically when the colposcopy comes back and it's like abnormal.
They're like, this isn't good. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. And that was, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I became a lot less sexually active after that. I was like, whoa, 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 buddy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It sucked, but luckily I have a really good, my hot Russian gynecologist. Some gynecologists aren't insane and they will do the procedure in the office and give you like a local anesthetic, which is like terrible, like just like a painkiller for your vagina. No, she was like, oh hell no, I don't do that. So I went to like a day op and she like, they put you out. And
oh, thank God. Because I was just thinking about like when I got my IUD and they did a local anesthetic. I'm not saying the word right. And it was awful.
Because you could still feel it.
Yeah. And it was like, I remember her being like, you have a sensitive cervix. Because I was like bleeding everywhere. And I was like, So when you said that they scraped out like the first layer of your cervix, I just felt like my whole like vagina convulsed. Like my whole cervix was like, no, no.
No, it was terrible. And I was like, this is awful and never happening again. I also did get the vaccine prior to that. You know, I don't think the vaccine caused it, but it was like, it was weird timing. And I was extremely sexually active. So it was like, no one knew what was happening. And I was like too old, according to, you know, Gardasil to being covered by insurance to get the HPV vaccine, but whatever, I got it anyway. It was worth the investment. And then
I was going to say, like, we can get it now because I have to get it and I keep forgetting to, and I don't think it's covered by my insurance either.
When I did it, it was $150 a shot and I had to get three. So it was a $450 investment in my vagina, which was worth it. And knock on wood, we've been, you know, the LEAP procedure is really intense. And it was, you know, I walked out of there feeling fucking great because I had just had surgery and I was like, you know, I had had real legit anesthesia. So I didn't know what the fuck was happening. And then I just remember the next day walking up a flight of steps and being like, something went down.
Oh, no.
Like, you know, it's suddenly like, oh. And I spotted for like 6 weeks after that. It was shitty. I also discovered some certain things, like, you know, I was taking fish oil supplements, which is a blood thinner, so that doesn't help. So I stopped taking fish oil. And then, I don't know, you ever find out that sometimes you have weird habits that are like really bad for you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I often would just blow my nose on the toilet because you're already there and you're already wiping other things. But it can, the pressure of blowing your nose if you're already bleeding can push more blood out.
Ooh, I did not know that.
Yeah, like when you're in a sensitive way, of course. It's not like I'm just going to start
blow my
right
nose
now.
Tomorrow and just like a lot of blood comes out. Oh my God.
To the men listening, to the people listening to this podcast, don't get scared. I don't bleed every time I blow my nose.
I do though, for anyone listening. I definitely do.
If your vagina's already healing or attempting to heal and you blow the nose while you're in a sensitive position, it can sort of, you know.
How long did you have to wait to have penetrative sex after that procedure? I'm assuming there was like a limit, like you had to wait a little bit.
Yeah. I think technically it was only like a month maybe.
Okay.
But I didn't feel great about it until I had fully stopped spotting because I felt like I was healing a wound.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And then yeah. When I don't know if you're having the same like experience as I was like mentally, but after it was like a breast cancer scare and then like the HPV cervical cancer scare. And like, it was back to back for me last year. And I just was like, it destroyed my libido. Like I still kind of feel like I'm recovering. Like I was even talking to my partner recently of like, I would like to actively be trying to have more sex. Cause I feel like that things happen and then that just becomes like the new norm and you're like, but that's not exactly what I want. But then you forget that it takes work, I guess, maybe because you got so used to the space in between.
Absolutely. No, I did not feel sexy for a while. And in turn was like, fuck, like I became scared of sex because I was like, look what can happen to me. So yeah, I was like probably a year, maybe two to like, I felt like really, truly myself again and like feeling comfortable and like, okay, I can do this. And okay, great. You know, and HPV, like any other virus, can be, you know, exacerbated like by stress and shit going on in your life and taking care of yourself. And so it was like also a good wake up call to be like, okay, maybe be nicer to your body as well, you know, and this will stay in the not scary zone, you know, and eventually I think your body just kills it, you know, knock on wood.
Yeah, so. I've been trying to figure that out because very gross. I have plantar warts that like some of them are now like 5, 6, 7 years old on my feet. And like my doctor was like, yeah, that's HPV. Like that's something. So I was like, does it mean it's just in my body still? Like when will I shed it? And she was like, you may never shed it. You may never shed it. Most people do, but some people don't ever shed the virus. And that's the problem. That's when it gets into cancer like areas. And I was like, oh, great. And then I was like, so what do I do? And she was like, just eat well, like get sleep, eat well, exercise. And I was like, these are all the things that I hate. Like but I will say I finally like started to take it a little bit more seriously again. I was like, oh, you really physically can feel the difference. Like when you take care of your body and you're like, no, why were they right?
I was like, actually sort of noting, like I was remarkably like astonished by my body. And I was like, recently, I was just drinking, like, you know, it was my birthday yesterday and then it was my friend's birthday before that. So we had like a week and a half of just like drinking and smoking pot and, you know, not getting enough sleep, doing some mushrooms, you know, it was like, but it was all fun. And I was out in Fire Island. So it was like I wasn't stressed. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, though, I was like, thank you, body. Thank you. Thank you for not getting sick. Thank you for just like holding it down, waiting for me to take care of you. I know you know what's around the corner. And it's like, I did continue to take my vitamins. And of course, I like got home and the first thing I did was like drink a green juice and just like, you
fucking
know,
green
just
juice. Try to I love that shit.
Fucking probiotics, you know, apple cider gummies, you know, anything I could think of. Just like, okay, we're going to reestablish the flora and the fauna. Okay, we're going to meditate. We're going to exercise. But yes, do the things, you know. Yeah. It makes a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm such a probiotic bitch. I love kombucha. I chug shit. I love it.
I prefer the like kombucha makes me shit myself sometimes. So I can't always drink it.
No, that's fair. I had a friend that was like, they're like, you love it. I got to poop. And I was like, you should just drink a bottle. Just drink. You've never had it. Just drink a full bottle. You will no longer be constipated. And she was like, oh, my God. And I was like, yeah, it's going to clean you out because you're not used to it. But yeah, it'll make you shit.
I used to really love the trilogy kind of the whatever. And it was like the raspberry and the lemon. And I would drink it. I'd be like, yes, it's so healthy. I feel so good. And then one day I was in a public place and had to just run and find the nearest bathroom. And I was like, okay, I'm never doing this again. I will take the probiotic pill. Kombucha is not my friend. And then I tried, have you ever had the hard kombucha?
Oh, kombucha? Yeah, I've always wanted to try it, but I haven't had it yet. Fuck,
it did the same fucking thing to me. And I was like, God damn it. Like, I thought it felt like I was drinking healthy beer, but it's not. It's fucking kombucha.
Beer makes me poop. If I drink beer at a party, I'm more of a liquor girl. I'm more of a vodka soda, like same. A working drink type of gal. If I have beer, I am shitting. Like, and it's not going to be a fun shit. It's going to be like, I'm taking up a lot of time in the one bathroom that's open to everyone. So that's why I don't trust the kombucha. Because I was like, I feel like it's not the same situation. Though I do for healthy beer, I do love Athletic. It's that non-alcoholic beer that tastes like an IPA. I'm not the biggest fan of IPAs, but it's like, this is good. Like, if I'm like, I want to feel like I'm drinking because I have social anxiety, but I don't actually want to drink, I get like a 6-pack of Athletic for like the group setting.
Where the fuck do you get
everywhere?
That?
They are everywhere in New York City. Like if you go to your bodega, there's most likely Athletic there.
Oh my God, you're changing my life.
Any grocery store will have it. Like, yeah, it's great. I'll send you a link later. One of my friends worked for them. So that's how I found out about it. But it's like great. Yeah, I fucking love it.
That's awesome. And that's a really good point because like sometimes there are times that I do want to drink because I like drinking. Yeah. But then there are times that I'm like, I don't really need to be drinking right now, but there is that pressure of like feeling like you need to have something in your hand or just drinking something, you know, and that's really cool. I need to get into that.
Oh yeah. I had a night with like a friend, well, lots of friends, but me and one of my friends ended up drinking like way, way, way too much. And I was told I had like very hard opinions about like female heroes and Marvel movies and like how they're not getting their day. And then I was like, you know what? Like, why was I drinking so hard that day? And I was, or that night. And I was like, oh, cause I was nervous. So the next day I was like, I'm just going to be like more intentional with my drinking. Like it's not necessarily, it's not a problem. I feel like that's what anyone would say. It's not that I don't think it's a problem. It's just why I want to ask why before I drink, like why today? Is it because I'm hanging out with my friends? I'm having a great time because it's 4th of July. Or am I at a new comedy show that I'm about to perform on and I know no one there, so I'm feeling super nervous? Like, what are the reasons why I want that thing in my hand? So, yeah. So I highly recommend. Athletic is great.
That's very cool. Yeah. And it reminds me, I used to smoke cigarettes and then I actually got hypnosis.
Ooh.
And before he did the hypnosis, that's what we did. We broke down all the reasons why I smoked. Like when and where and why I smoked. It was like, oh, I smoke because I'm feeling overwhelmed in this social setting and I want to get away from people. Or sometimes it was the opposite where it was like, I wanted to be part of the cool kid crowd. And it was like, oh, let's go smoke a cigarette. Yeah, you want to go smoke a cigarette? Oh, let's go smoke over there. And then like other times it'd be like, oh, I'm nervous because I'm like about to do a new set or I'm doing it in front of a room that I don't know or I don't know any of the comics. So let me smoke a cigarette before and it'll calm me down, which it doesn't, right? Because nicotine's a stimulant. So stupid. And it was just like all this stuff or like after I eat or like, you know, with a cup of coffee or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I sort of did that. So it's good to do that kind of work.
No, I think that's great. And I think that really helps people too, to be like, why? what is happening? Why are we doing this? And we can do it for like a lot of different things too. Like, why am I acting like this? Why is this the first thing I go to? And it's okay to have many different answers. Like, I think people assume it's just one answer and it's like, no, there's a multitude, a plethora of reasons why we're doing things that may or may not be okay for us. And that it's okay, then we're human and that's why we're doing that.
Totally. And the fact that we're looking is
huge, right?
Like, because like a lot of people just don't want to look, you know, they don't want to, because looking can be really painful. I mean, that's what I was talking about with my therapist today. It's like, you know, looking at these different reactions I have to certain situations and, you know, the way we process information and not everyone takes it. You know, I may say a thing in a certain way and one person gets offended and the other person goes, why are they upset? And I'm like, I don't know, you know, but I could be triggering their shit. They're triggering my shit. And it's just, it's fascinating. Oftentimes painful and tiring, but good stuff.
Yeah. I think I was talking with Sarah last week of just like this, the work is never fun. Like it's isolating and it's hard. I think this is exactly what I said to Sarah, but it's so worth it once you get to the other side. But to start with looking, like you said, is probably the hardest part, right? Because then you have to accept your demons and accept that you're not perfect and that you've probably definitely hurt people in the past and will in the future too, but just, you know, at least accepted that you want to try. And like you said, a lot of people don't want to. Like my therapist will always say, people don't change unless they want to. And most people don't want to.
Preach.
Right. Oof. Dr. Eve just giving me life every other week, Mondays at 6 p.m. after work.
She needs a podcast.
Oh my God. I so would. I love her so much. She was like, she'll be like, I remember you have a podcast. And I'm like, you shouldn't listen to it. She's like asked to come to a show. And I was like, Dr. Eve, I feel like you're making this about you now. And I am not paying for the session anymore. no, but she's so great. She's such a great person. One time she was like, I was like telling a story and there was a vape pen in the story. Or like, I was like telling her the drugs or whatever was happening. And she was like, I just have one question. What is a vape? And I was like, she's so cute and innocent. I think she's in her 60s. And I love it.
Plus.
And she'll always, I'll get like really heated and be like, this is fucking bullshit. And she'll like laugh and be like, that's a funny term, fucking bullshit. And like, you're just, she's so cute. I love her so much. I've been with her for like 5 or 6 years at this point.
That's awesome. My old therapist was very, very sex positive and worked a lot with sex workers and people across the LGBTQIA spectrum. And, you know, I didn't ever have to explain anything to her. It was like the opposite, to the point that she said to me, so what if I see you at a party? What's our preferred protocol?
Ooh.
Right. And I mean, that's why I loved her anyway. Like literally the first thing she said to me when I walked in her office was, what is your preferred pronoun? And I was like, oh, yes, bitch, go. And then as we got to know each other and, you know, I shared proclivities or whatever, she was like, yeah, so if I see you at a party, what's the protocol? And I was like, high five. And she was like, great.
Love it. Love it.
It never happened. But I was like, oh, that'd be so cool. Just like, I'm getting flogged. And I'm just like, oh, hey.
You got me here. Thanks.
It's all because of you.
Oh, I love therapy so much. Oh my God, this is a great place to stop too. I'm just like, therapy is great. But I always like to ask before we end a recording, was there anything we did not talk about that you would like to talk about?
No, I just probably should like plug my shit, you know. Like I said, we the Boss Bitch Show podcast is coming out July 14th. We're gonna release like a bunch so people can do a little, you know, binging. And it's sexy and funny and silly, but also we talk about, you know, therapy, we talk about sex, we talk about woo-woo witchy shit. And it's Boss Bitch Show on Instagram, and similar derivations on TikTok and Facebook, but you know, whatever. I think it's like Boss Bitch without the I, because you know, they're prude. And I am the one Rachel Green, on all the socials as well. And rachelgreen.nyc is my website that I probably need to update one of these days. Yeah. And I had a fucking blast with you. And obviously, like, we got to have you on the show. We got to have you on the podcast. And like, I want to like hang out with
you. Yes, I would love all those things. Absolutely. Yes, please.
Yay.
Thank you guys again. Thank you for coming down. Thank you for coming down and hanging out with me on my porch. Just thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening. Please go and subscribe to The Boss Bitch Show with Rachel Green and Kirsten O'Brien. And again, if you are in New York City, July 14th, it's a Thursday at the Comedy Shop off of Bleecker Street. Head on down. I'm going to try to go. I think it's going to be a fucking blast. It's going to be a lot of amazing podcasts. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being a part of the show. And yeah, the duplex for me, July 15th. You want to see me and some people, some friends live. And then if you are in Europe, if you're in the UK, if you're in Scotland, come down August 4th to the 28th. That's fucking wild. We're almost like just less than a month away. I can't even imagine. But otherwise, y'all, go like, rate, subscribe, review, do all the things for Awkward Sex and City and the Boss Bitch Show podcast. And I will see you next week.